Mzaghzala's Perek Hey Mishnah Vov until Perek Vov Mishnah Base. We have seen that only a structure that is attached to the ground has the ability to prevent impurity from passing beyond it. For example, the wall of a house would prevent the impurity from going from one room to the next room. On the other hand, kelim, utensils, which are movable, they generally don't have the ability to prevent the impurity from passing through them. Except for in two cases, either if it's fastened shut and the lid has been properly glued onto the rest of the kli, that's known as mukov tzomid posel, and this only applies to earthenware utensils, which cannot become tomei from their outside, or utensils that can't become tomei at all if they're made out of stone, for example. In that case, if it's totally fastened shut on the outside, then there's no way for the impurity to touch the inside of the kli, and therefore the kli does not become tomei, and it also protects that which is inside of it from becoming tomei. The second exception, and this is really the focus of the final two mishnayos of the perek, continuing the theme of the past couple of mishnayos, and that is when the movable items become a part, or they are a secondary, to the structure itself. For example, if there's a hole in the house, in the wall of a house, and the hole is filled up with a movable item, in that case, the movable item would be viewed upon as being a part or an extension of the wall itself, of the house, and therefore it would protect the impurity from passing through it. So this Mishnah opens up by asking Ketzad, what is the application, an extent of this rule that although in general movable items do not protect and prevent the impurity from passing through them, if they are part of Dafnos Holim, the wall of a proper structure that is attached to the ground, then they would stop the tumor from penetrating through it. As we have seen, however, this is only true if the utensil does not become tomei. As soon as the utensil itself is tomei, it can't prevent impurity from passing through it. And therefore, this is only really going to apply either to utensils that can't become tomei at all, or to earthenware utensils that at least can't become tomei from their outside, or to utensils that, for whatever other reason, cannot become tomei. For example, if they're too large to become tomei. Says the Mishnah, habor, a pit which is dug underground in the floor of a house, and in general, water would be stored in that pit. The hadus, this is similar to a pit, just that it has walls that are raised higher up above the ground, and water is stored in between those walls as well, higher up above the ground level. Shemabayis, if they are situated in a house, which means that there's a roof on top of them, uchafisha nesuna olav, and there is a kafisha placed on top of them. Now, it's unclear what exactly a kafisha is. It appears to be a kind of basket, and as we're about to see, it certainly is a basket that does not have the ability to become tomei. If it can become tomei, then certainly it wouldn't prevent the tumor from going through it. The Mishnah's whole discussion of whether the tumor will go through this lid, which is placed on top of the pit or not, is only a relevant discussion at all if this basket cannot become tomei. Now, the reason why it can't become tomei is slightly unclear. Some explain that it's because it's too large. It's got the ability to hold at least a volume of 40 se'ah. Although this explanation is pretty difficult in reality, because we're going to see that in one of the cases of the Mishnah, we're talking about where the basket is less than one tefach deep. So if we're going to assume that it's too large to become tomei, that would mean that we're talking about a massively wide basket. Extremely wide, and this is quite a unusual case, difficult to imagine that the Mishnah would be talking about that. Others explain that the reason why it can't become tomei is because although it has the ability to contain things, its purpose is not for the sake of holding and containing things, but rather to cover this well or this pit. And because its purpose is not to be used for holding or containing things, it therefore cannot become tomei. So in such a case where there is a piece of a dead body inside of the house, and there are various items inside of the pit. And the question of the Mishnah is whether the tumah is transferred to those items or not. And the Mishnah establishes that tohar, everything that is inside of the pit, would remain pure. The reason for this is because the walls of the pit are considered to be just like the walls of a house. It's a fixed structure, part of the ground, and therefore it has the ability, as long as it is closed shut at the top with something that cannot become tomei, to prevent the tumah from penetrating through into it. Now, at the end of the Mishnah, we're going to see that this is only true if the wall of the pit is at least a tefach high above the ground. It doesn't help that there's a fixed structure underneath the ground. It has to be that it rises above the ground of the house, the floor of the house, by at least one tefach. Now, one explanation for this is in order to associate the roof of the house with these walls. We don't view the walls as one structure, and it happens to be there's a roof of the house which is also above this a few meters upwards. Because the law that a movable item can combine with a fixed structure in order to prevent the tumah from penetrating through, that was said specifically about dafnos ohalim, the walls of an oyel. So if we're talking about the wall, the actual wall of a house, that's very clearly the wall of an oyel. The main part of the oyel is the roof of the house, and you have the wall which is attached to the wall of to the roof of the house, and supporting the roof of the house even. So there, certainly, it's relevant to talk about Daphne Sohalim. But over here, where the pit is not really a part of the actual house itself, it's underneath the house. So it's not associated with the roof of the house to such an extent that we'll consider these walls to be Daphnos Ohalim, the wall of the Ohel of the house, the roof of the house. Unless the walls of the pit actually enter into the airspace of the house. In that case, we view it as one of the uses of the house, and just like obviously the roof of the house is considered to be a roof and directly associated with the entire floor of the house, it would also be associated directly now with the pit, to the extent that it's considered to be a fixed structure, which is a part of the house which has a roof on top of it. Now, once the wall of the pit has the status of Daphnos Ohalim, then we're able to say that the kli, which is attached to it at the top, in this case the basket, that combines together with the wall of the pit to prevent the tumah from penetrating through it. In Hosea Be'er Chaloka, what happens if there was a well that was equal to the ground level, which means that it didn't rise above the floor of the house at all? Oy kaveres pasucha. There are different versions in the Mishnah. We're going to read over here kaveres pasucha, which means that there is a kind of basket, or possibly a beehive, or possibly a basket that is in the shape of a beehive. The point is that it's a movable kli that is not able to become tameh. But at the end of the day, it's considered to be a movable utensil. It's not a structure fixed to the ground at all, and therefore certainly it does not have the ability to prevent tumah from going through it. And neither would the basket which is placed on top of it have the ability to do so, because they're both considered to be kelim, and there's no fixed structure over here. And therefore, if in either of these cases, even if there is a basket that's not able to become tomei, which is forming a lid on top of it, tomei, the items inside of it, would become tomei. And in the case of the well, that is a fixed structure, since the walls don't rise above the floor of the house. It also does not have the status of Daphnos Ohalim, and the way we explained it is because the roof of the house is not considered to be, albeit directly, the roof of this well as well. Now the Mishnah introduces a new way for Tumah to be prevented from penetrating through. Until now we've seen that in general, movable items do not prevent the Tumah going through, whereas fixed structures that are attached to the ground do prevent the Tumah from going through them. Now the Mishnah shows that something that is not considered to be a kli at all also prevents the tumah from going through it. The simple halachic definition of a kli is a utensil that has a somewhat significant purpose and use. Something like a flat piece of wood or a flat piece of stone. This is not considered to be a kli. And it's very important to realize there are certain things like very large utensils that are not able to become tomei. Over there, certainly it's considered to be a kli, just that there's an additional rule that if it's too large, then this is a type of kli that cannot become tomei. But it doesn't stop being a kli. Likewise, a stone utensil, we've seen that stone is one of the materials that cannot become tomei. Does that mean if somebody has a bowl made out of stone that it's not considered to be a kli? It's considered to be a utensil that has a significant use, just that there's a rule that it cannot become tomei. However, there are certain cases where the item has a lack of significant use, and therefore it's not even considered to be a kli. For example, a flat piece of wood or a flat piece of stone, and something like that that's not even considered to be a kli, that does prevent tumah from going through it. Needless to say, something like that is not able to become tomei itself either. Says the Mishnah, Neser Cholok, if there was a flat piece of wood, a board of wood, a Serida, another kind of board generally used for kneading dough, She'en lo gapayim, if it doesn't have any rim around it, then it's not considered to be a kli at all. And if that was placed on top of the well or on top of the basket, which is shaped like a beehive, the basket that is not able to become tome itself, then tahar, the items inside of it, would remain pure. Because the lid, the top of the well, or the top of this movable basket, does not allow the tumah to go through it into the inside of the basket. Now the Mishnah goes back to explain the reason for that which was taught earlier on in this Mishnah, that in order for a movable item to combine with dafnos halim and protect the tumah from going through it, it must be that there are actual walls. That's why the pit needs to go above the ground of the house if it's a basket that has the status of a kli that's on top of it. Because she'ena kelim matzilim dafnos halim, for a kli to save the tumah from coming through it, by being a part of the wall of a more permanent structure attached to the ground, that only occurs if if there are actual walls which are associated directly with the roof on top of it. What is the minimum height that the wall that rises above the ground needs to be? Tefach, at least one tefach. The truth is, even if the wall of the pit itself is not raised above the ground by a tefach, if the wall of the lid, which is of the kli, which is placed on top of the pit, if that has a rim which is at least a tefach high, that would also be sufficient. However, if half of the tefach came from the rim which was around the basket which was placed on top of it, and half of the tefach was from the top of the wall of the pit that was above the ground, in that case, it's not considered to be a significant enough wall, unless there is a tefach in one place, meaning either the rim of the basket on top has a height of a tefach, or the wall of the pit itself that is raised above the ground has a height of a tefach. If it's a half-half, then it's not considered significant enough to be considered a wall. Mishnah Zayin. This Mishnah presents a more novel application of the rule of Dafnei Sohalim, that if a movable item is considered to be somewhat a part of a fixed structure, like the wall of a house, then the movable item would also gain the ability to prevent the tumah from penetrating through it. Because until now, all of the examples that we have seen include cases where the movable item is assisting to a certain extent in the function of the wall. For example, if there's a hole in the wall or a hole in the ceiling, then the hole is filled up with a movable item, so it becomes essentially a part of the wall, at least to a certain extent. But in this case, we're going to see that that's not actually necessary to apply the law of Dafnos Ohalim. Shem Shematzilin Bifnim, just like movable items can save tumah from going through them when they are inside of the house. For example, in the previous Mishnah when we talked about the basket which was placed on top of the pit inside of the house, and in that case there is a roof on top of the house which we understood is also considered to be the roof of the pit. But the truth is, the Mishnah says that kach matzilim b'chutz, movable items can also have gain the ability to prevent tumah from penetrating through them, together with the permanent structure, even if the movable item is outside and there's no roof directly on top of it. Ketzah, the house, what exactly is the case we're talking about? Kefisha shina sunaya yisedis and bachutz. If there is, again, this kind of basket that for whatever reason does not have the ability to become tomei, and it is placed on top of pegs or on top of poles outside, but it's placed right next to the wall. There's an argument as to whether we're talking specifically about a case where it's actually touching the wall of the house, or at least it's within a tefach of the wall of the house. But because of its extremely close proximity to the wall of the house, tumotachtel, if there is a source of impurity underneath that basket, as the basket is essentially forming its own oihel, and if there is a source of impurity underneath it, kelim shebakfisha, the utensils that are inside of the basket or on top of the basket, tahirim, would remain pure, because the tumah cannot go through them, it cannot go through this basket, since the basket gains the ability to protect and prevent tumah from going through it, by being so close to the wall of the house that already has that ability. Now the Mishnah teaches, kesel chotzer, kesel gina. If the basket was right next to the wall of a courtyard or the wall of a garden, that itself doesn't have a roof at all, so then certainly eino matzil, the basket would not prevent the impurity from going through it, because it's not right next to Daphnos Oyhalim. It's not next to a permanent structure which is attached to a roof. In that case, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, no tumma will be prevented from going through it, because there's no roof at all. The whole ability of a wall of a house to prevent impurity from going through it is only because it's associated directly with the roof, with the oihel which is on top of it. Continues the Mishnah. A beam which is placed between one wall and another. For example, you've got two different houses, and between the two houses there is a beam in the middle of the air stretching from one house to the other. And the beam is at least a tefach by a tefach, which means that it forms an oihel in and of itself. And ukadeya tuluyabar, there is an earthenware pot hanging from the beam. And we're going to understand the scenario as talking about a case where the pot is touching the beam. However, the rim around the pot extends beyond the sides of the beam, because the pot is wider than the beam itself. However, it does not extend beyond the tefach away from the end of the beam. So essentially, the pot is touching the beam, but part of it goes beyond the beam and it's not touching it. And the question is whether we view the pot as being one of the items which is underneath this oyel, which is the entire beam, or whether we're able to consider the beam, which is the part of the beam which is on top of the pot, as forming an oyel on top of the pot, and now we can view the pot itself as its own entity with an oyel on top of it, in which case an item inside of the pot would be protected by the roof which is formed on top of the pot. So the Mishnah says, if there is a source of impurity, a piece of a dead body underneath the beam, in the continuation of the beam, not underneath the pot. It's underneath another part of the beam, but since the beam forms an oihel above the piece of the dead body, so the tumah is spread underneath the entire beam. Nevertheless, kelim shebakadeira, the items which are inside of the pot itself, Rabbi Akiva metaher, Rabbi Akiva says they remain pure, because since the pot is touching the beam, we're able to view the beam as forming an oihel on top of the pot, and this is considered to be its own oihel in and of itself. Whereas the Chachom say that since part of the pot is not covered by the oihel on top of it, the tumor does manage to, so to speak, enter into the pot and make that impure as well. Now, to elaborate slightly on Rabbi Akiva's opinion, and this also forms an introduction to the next perek, the next chapter, we've talked extensively until now about how kelim, movable items, do not have the ability to prevent the tumor from penetrating through them. But this is only true to the extent that there is an opening to the kli. Now, even if you put a lid on top of the opening, unless the lid is totally fastened shut and it's made out of earthenware, it's a mukov tzomid posil, unless that's the case, then a lid would not successfully close that opening and prevent the tumor from coming in. But if something is placed on top of the opening of this movable item that does have the ability to prevent the impurity from coming inwards, so then the opening of the kli has been fully stopped up. And if we go back to the case, let's say, of the wooden or stone board that's placed on top of a basket, we learned that that would prevent the tumor from coming in, because the board that was placed on top of the basket is not considered to be a kli at all. It has no significant use, and therefore it can stop the tumor from entering into the basket. Now, seemingly, it's a bit difficult to understand that, because we're talking about a basket that is inside a room that's full of impurity. So it's true that on top of the basket, there's something that protects the tumor from coming in, but why doesn't the tumor come in through the sides, through the actual basket? Because the rest of the basket is considered to be a kli, and a kli item which does have a certain use does not prevent the tumor from coming into it. The answer is that anyway, the entire ability for the tumor to come into a kli is not that it penetrates through the walls. Rather, it's because it comes through the opening. So as long as the opening is closed with something that doesn't allow the tumor to come through, that is enough to prevent any tumor from entering into that item. Likewise, over here, Rabbi Akiva understands that the pot, since it has a oihel on top of it, that prevents the tumor from entering into the pot. Perek Vav Mishnah Aleph, although we have seen that an oihel has the ability to block tumor from coming through it, And according to the more refined definition that we just gave, that means that an oihel has the ability to close up an opening which would otherwise have allowed the tumah to enter. This does not apply to every kind of oihel. One such example is an oihel which is part of a kli, a movable item. Only if it's part of a structure fixed to the ground would it be an oihel that blocks tumah. And now the Mishnah adds another example, which is odom, a person. Although if a person places his hand over a dead body, he would form an oihel over it. The Mishnah says that odom v'kelim nasim oihelim l'tameh, a person, as well as movable items, can be considered oihalim, a roof, in terms of causing tumah to be transferred to all of the other items underneath that same roof, avalei l'taher, but they do not have the strength of an oihel to block the impurity from passing through. And the truth is, this even applies to an oihel which is supported by a person or a movable item. As the Mishnah goes on to explain, Ketzad, how so? Arba Amnesin Zamidbach, if there are four people carrying a stone board, and the stone board itself is not considered to be a kli at all, it's a flat stone board, and so in general it would be considered an oihel even to block the impurity. However, since it's being supported by people who are carrying it, tumo tachtov, if there is a source of impurity, a part of a dead body underneath the stone board, kelim shal gabov tmein, any utensil that is above the stone board would be impure, even if it's not directly above the dead body, because the stone does form an oihel in terms of allowing the tumah to be transferred to everywhere underneath that oihel. On the other hand, it doesn't stop the tumah from going beyond it, which means that anywhere directly above the entire oihel, as well as just directly below it, will become filled with impurity, and any item there would become impure. Similarly, tumah shel gabov, if there is a source of impurity, a piece of a dead body on top, above the stone board, kelim shetachtov tameim, any items which are underneath the stone board would also become tomei. Rabbi Eliezer mitaher, however, Rabbi Eliezer says that in these cases, the items would remain pure, but it should be noted that Rabbi Eliezer holds that they remain pure only in a case where the people or the movable items that are supporting the oihel don't become tomei themselves. Now, if they're holding on to the stone roof, the stone board which is forming an oihel, then in general they would become tomei as well, because part of the person's body or part of the movable item is underneath this oihel. So we're talking specifically about a scenario where they're holding on to the stone board using poles whose circumference is less than a tefach, and that way the people won't become tomei themselves, and in that case Rabbi Eliezer understands that the stone board would be an oihel even in terms of protecting the tumah from going beyond it. Likewise, the Mishnah says, Nosan labar kelim, if the stone board is being supported by four movable items, afilu klei glolim klei avodim klei adoma, even if it's being supported by items that were made out of animal dung, or made out of stone, or made out of clay that hadn't been hardened, these are all materials that don't have the ability to become tomei at all, but nevertheless, they're still considered to be movable items. And movable items do not have the ability to protect from impurity, or even an oihel which is supported by a movable item, and therefore tumah tachtov kelim shel gabov tameim. If there is a piece of a dead body underneath them, then any item which is above the wooden board would become tomei. And similarly, tumah al gabov kelim shel tachtov tameim. If there was a piece of a dead body above the stone board, items which are underneath it would also become tomei. Here, too, Rabbi Eliezer argues. Now the Mishnah continues, Nosan l'arba avonim, if the stone board is being supported by four stones that also don't really have any specific shape and they're not really very useful and therefore they're not considered to be kelim at all, so then it would have the ability to protect from the impurity, or if it's being supported by an animal, an animal's not considered to be a kli, a movable object. And so an animal does have the ability to be an oihel or to support an oihel that will protect from impurity passing beyond it. So in these cases, tumah tachtov, if there is a piece of a dead body underneath the oihel which is being formed, then kelim shel gabov tahorim, items which are above it would remain pure, and tumah al gabov, if there is a source of impurity, a piece of a dead body above this oihel, kelim shel tachtov tahorim, items which are beneath it would remain pure. Mishnah Beis, Kovriyat Meis or Yoivim Ba'achsadro, if there were people bearing a dead body and they were carrying the dead body and they were passing by a porch outside of a person's house and the door of the house was open, and before they arrived and carried the dead body through the porch, one of the people who were carrying the dead body, he ran ahead a little bit, and one of them closed the door of the house in order that the impurity remain in the porch area and not enter into the house via the opening of the house, the entrance. And he supported the door. He ensured that the door will not reopen by locking it with a key or some kind of bolt. And immediately after that, the people who were carrying the dead body brought it through the porch area. And the question of the Mishnah is whether the closing of the door successfully prevents the tumah from entering into the house. If the door of the house is able to stand by itself, even without the help of the key, it would still remain closed, then great, tahar, the items inside of the house would remain pure. However, vim lav, if not, that means that the wall of the house, which is part of the oihel, and therefore it has the ability to prevent the impurity from passing beyond it, it's relying on the key, and the key is a movable item. Just like an oihel, which is relying and being supported by a movable object, does not protect the tumah from coming through it, so too the wall of the house, the dafno sehalim, which is relying and being supported by a movable item like the key, would not prevent the tumah from coming through it. And therefore the items inside of the house would be tome, impure. V'chein chovish shel geroigros, o kupo shel tevin shein asunas b'chaloyin. The same applies to a barrel filled with dry figs, or a box or basket filled with straw, which has been placed inside of a window or an opening in the wall of a house, and then the opening is at least a tefach by a tefach, so it would allow the tumah to come through it. And the opening, the window, was filled with these items inside of the barrel or box. Now, in general, a earthenware barrel itself has the ability to fill in the gap in the wall, but that's only if the outside of the earthenware barrel is the side facing towards the source of impurity, and then the barrel is not able to become tome, so it would prevent the tumah from coming through it. But in this case, the open side of the barrel is facing the side of the wall which has the dead body, so the barrel itself would become tome, and it wouldn't have the ability to prevent the tumah from coming through it. So reliant on the food which is inside of the barrel or the box. And we're talking specifically about food which is not really fit for eating anymore, and therefore a person is unlikely to take it out of the wall. So we see it as being a fixed part of the wall now. But even if that's the case, if it's being supported and reliant on the barrel or the box in which it is situated, then again it's being supported by a kli, by a movable item. So the Mishnah says that only if the dried figs or the straw would be able to stand by themselves, even without the barrel being there, because they're very tightly packed together, then tahirin, the items on the other side of the wall would remain pure, because it would protect the tumah from coming through it, v'im lav. But if not, if the hole in the wall is being stopped up only due to the barrel or the box assisting, then once again that would not be a sufficient protection, and tamei, the items on the other side of the wall would become impure. Now the Mishnah's final case, a house in which a person made a partition with barrels going from the floor all the way until the ceiling. It's made of earthenware, but once again, the open side of the barrel is the side that is facing the impurity. So the barrels in and on themselves cannot protect and prevent the tumah from passing through them, because the barrels would become tomei. But in this case, for toch patit, he plastered the side of the barrels with plaster. So now you've got a partition made of plaster as well. If there is literally now a wall of plaster that would be able to stand by itself without the help of the barrels, then tahar, the items on the other side would remain pure, because that would prevent the tumah from coming through. Vim lav. But if not, if the plaster stands only due to the barrels supporting it, then it wouldn't be a sufficient protection, and tomei, the items on the other side of the wall, on the other side of these barrels, would become impure.